Welcome to the Employee Onboarding Podcast, the only place to learn from the world's leading people operators on how to craft a magical onboarding experience. This podcast is brought to you by Process Street, the AI-powered platform that revolutionizes how HR teams design, manage, and automate their most vital processes. Craft memorable employee experiences, cultivate company culture, and significantly reduce turnover with Process Street. Sign up for a free account at www.process.st. Join thousands of iconic people teams in companies like Salesforce, MIT, and Accenture that trust Process Street for all their people processes.
Hello, everyone. Thanks for joining us today on Process Street's Employee Onboarding Podcast. I'm Josh Ashton, VP of People and Operations here at Process Street. Our mission is to make recurring work, employee onboarding, for example, fast, fun, and faultless. This podcast is all about unpacking great onboarding ideas and best practices from the world's top HR leaders, practitioners, and thought leaders. I'm joined today by Gianna Driver. Gianna, welcome.
Thanks, Josh. It's great to be here.
I'm going to give a quick bio of Gianna, and then we'll kind of jump into the conversation. So Gianna is currently the CHRO at Exabeam and has over 15 years of experience scaling global people and talent functions. She loves leading teams and helping them meet ambitious goals. Gianna has a wide range of leadership experience, from board management to diversity, equity, inclusion, and belonging to process creation. She loves the energy that comes from creating structure out of chaos. Welcome, Gianna. Do you want to do a quick icebreaker with me?
Sure.
All right. We're going to do a quick this or that.
Okay.
And you can add extra details if you wish.
Okay.
All right. Sure. So first one is dog or cat?
Dog.
All right. Phone calls or texts?
Phone calls.
Old school. I like it.
Old school all the way. Yeah. There's something very human and personal about that. But, you know, if you gave me the option of phone calls or knock on the door in-person meetings, I'd go for knock on the door in-person meetings. I miss that human element.
I hear you. Music or podcasts?
Both.
Oh,
it's hard to choose just one, because I think during the pandemic, I've really gotten into podcasts. You know, pre-pandemic, I wasn't quite as into them, but you know, during the pandemic, that's been just a great source of connection and intellectual stimulation and that type of thing. It's been great.
Yeah, I'm actually the opposite. I used to be more into podcasts, although I still do, because my commute, I would always listen to podcasts during my ride into town. Mm-hmm. And I actually really miss that commute for that very reason. So now I just take my dog on a walk and it's podcast time at that point. Mm-hmm. So. Cool. Hamburgers or tacos?
Okay. That's hard. I might go the taco route, although both are great.
Nice. Last one, online shopping or in a store?
Depends on what it's for.
True.
Right? Like some things, like clothes and that type of stuff, I do like to try them on. But other things, you know, kitchen appliances or whatnot, online all the way.
I hear you. That's a very common answer. It really just depends on what you're getting, right? Although everything is still so convenient now, you don't have to ever, feels like yeah. You don't ever have to leave your house.
The one click buy, sometimes I accidentally click buy and I'm like, oh, no, I was just looking. I don't want to buy it.
Way too easy.
Right. Yes.
All right. I have a feeling they do that on purpose, right? All right. Let's jump into a conversation about employee onboarding.
Okay.
Which is near and dear to, I know, to your heart as you've scaled out companies and to ours here at Process Street. So you joined Exabeam recently, right?
Yes. Yep. About 4 or 5 months ago.
Mm-hmm. If you can remember back then, can you share just sort of how your onboarding experience went? And in particular, as an executive, if it was kind of different than your approach for maybe other roles, what were maybe the aspects that allowed you to come up to speed quickly and just start contributing?
Sure. Yeah. Well, so I would say for me, and I think this is true of many of our employees, the onboarding process actually started before day one of employment, right? So I refer to this as kind of the pre-boarding or pre-employment phases. And during that process, I met with our CEO a number of times, and that's where we just got clarity around what are the keystone projects and the big initiatives that would be the top priorities in my first several months. And then, just getting a lay of the land and understanding from him things that he thinks are going well, areas of focus, understanding the people map, understanding just business priorities, not just my own. So all of that, I would say, was part of what made the pre-boarding really, really useful and helpful. And then once onboarding came, you're right, I did have a blend of onboarding as all our employees go through, which is more of a scheduled and structured programmatic approach. And then there were additional meetings and conversations with our leadership team that provided a lot more of the in-depth elements that that an executive needs when she joins.
Yeah, I'm curious about those pre-boarding conversations with the CEO. Mm-hmm. Did you feel like that was just a really natural continuation from your interview process, kind of going into the next layer down then and getting more clarity?
Absolutely. What also helped was that, after we signed the offer and had a start date and all of that stuff, we were in the midst of our annual planning process. So budgeting and headcount planning and stuff like that. So what was nice, a blessing and a curse, I will say, though, because I didn't have all the context of, having been an employee for a while. What was really nice is that we engaged in a lot of conversations around, okay, here's where we are. Here's where, my CEO thinks we should be. And that allowed for just a really nice conversation before I actually joined. So you're right. It was a continuation in some ways of a lot of the interview conversations.
Do you take a similar approach, whether throughout your career or at Exabeam with all other roles? Do you try to do as much of that kind of pre-boarding context and sort of brainstorming and conversations? Or do you feel like that was maybe situationally more in-depth because of your role?
I think the situation helped elevate and amplify what would have happened anyway. There's that saying, chance favors the prepared. And so I do think there's a lot of success that comes from just being prepared. And we are prepared by having early conversations. I had done a lot of research on Exabeam myself, so came into it with a lot of curiosities and things that I just wasn't sure about from the outside looking in.
Right. I think pre-boarding is super important.
Yes.
And finding that balance of how much to get someone prepared versus giving them a little bit of that space to kind of clear their mind and come in fresh. It's always an interesting challenge as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you are certainly experienced when it comes to scaling organizations quickly, specifically from a people and headcount perspective. What are your, when it comes to that scale and thinking about how do you balance speed and quality, and then you think about that from an onboarding perspective, what are some of like your basic building blocks or principles that you adhere to in order to kind of like meet that speed and quality quotient?
Mm-hmm. So I think about it through the lens of what is our objective, right? So I think a great onboarding program allows us to quickly and efficiently and consistently get people into the company and up to speed and productive as quickly as possible. So if that's our North Star and that's the objective that we're aiming for, then what we say is, okay, let's come up with a system and a process that is replicable every time we have new hire waves. And what we do here at Exabeam and what I've done at other places is for us to say, okay, the first 2 to 3 days of a new hire's experience at the company is pretty much scheduled and it's standard. And it doesn't matter if you're starting in EMEA or in APAC or in North America, but it's a pretty consistent experience. And so we start off with some of your basics, right? So there's an IT orientation because you have to have you know, your equipment, then there's a systems component, then we go into benefits, then we start getting into some of the business elements. So what is the company's history and origin story? Then let's get into what do we sell? How do we make money? Let's go into the competitive landscape. And so what happens is over the course of several days, you know, everyone goes through and gets the same baseline level of information. And then after that, then it's more function specific. So in other words, if you're an engineer, then after the basic NHO new hire orientation and onboarding, then you would have a separate program that would be, you know, more engineering focused. If you are a salesperson, well, then, you know, you'd have sales specific training and information on quotas and pipeline and whatnot. So that formulaic programmatic approach allows for speed, scalability, and also predictability so that people know, okay, every, you know, 2 weeks or every 1 month, depending on the calendar and the cycle, we're going to go through this program and we can all prepare for it and also have fun with it.
It's time for a quick intermission to appreciate our sponsor, Process Street. Want to build beautiful, engaging, and efficient employee onboarding processes? Looking to streamline your HR processes into wonderful AI-powered workflows? Look no further than Process Street. Just like Cargill, Colliers, and Hartford Healthcare, you too can trust Process Street with your key people processes. Visit www.process.st today.
Let's kind of, if you look back at, I mean, XRB might be a little too soon here, but if you look back at your career, what's the fastest, I guess, from a headcount perspective that you've grown over a period of time? Like what was the max there that where you felt like, wow, that was really scaling?
Let's see. Well, I've been in organizations where when I joined, we were three people big and we grew to hundreds over, you know, two, three years. I've been in other organizations where when I joined, we were, call it 250, 300 people big. And then over the course of, say, 2 years, you know, scaled to over 500. And, you know, so, yeah. And, you know, you also need to account for attrition and, you know, that type of thing in there as well.
Yeah. And the reason why I ask is I feel like that you reach a certain threshold where all of a sudden your growth rate, it starts getting really hard to keep things personal.
Yes.
Or custom. And yes. So, you know, having your framework of, you know, some standards, some standard functionality with onboarding, then getting to kind of like the team stuff, I think is great. And you know, Y Combinator, I don't remember exactly how recent this was, but has made the saying popular, do things that don't scale. I'm actually a big fan of that. Because I think sometimes you give up those personal things too easily because you're in fear of it not scaling. Mm-hmm. And so kind of question is, have, you know, throughout your experience growing fast in that way, how have you found to, again, strike that balance of keeping things custom, personal, remembering the human element of this, not just the employee element of this, but mm-hmm. still keeping up with the demand of the growth?
Mm-hmm. Totally. Well, I think you're right. There is a fine balance between what can we automate or what can we, you know, do quickly versus what are times and places where we actually want to go slow because we want to nurture the human component. So I'll caveat as I answer and say, I don't think that there is a silver bullet singular way of doing things, right? I think there are different ways and different versions of right, depending on different, you know, companies and company cultures and different stages of a company's growth. That said, what I think works really well is to first get a baseline of things in onboarding kind of set and done. So again, systems accesses and, you know, benefits and those types of things. So check those boxes off. Then after that, what I'm a big fan of are games. So weaving fun into the onboarding experience. And so that might mean at Exabeam, what that looks like is we do a game called Capture the Flag. So we're a cybersecurity company. And through this process of Capture the Flag, it's a gamified type of environment where new hires then understand the product and how it actually works through a series of games that we do. And other organizations, we've done scavenger hunts or things like that, that again, it's introducing this element of fun and play into the onboarding experience, but it also is like there's information that is being shared as well. These things take time. Like you can't just, you know, say, okay, well, great, watch this video and then we'll be done with onboarding. So there's that human element, but the value of the connective tissue and the relationships that are built is just, you know, off the charts beneficial to the organization.
I think you're right on that. At the end of the day, if you can provide as much value for all parties involved, you're winning there. So that's great. Switching topics just a little bit into, you know, oftentimes when I talk to people about, you know, the data that they're collecting or just being data driven in general, I think is really important, especially in the HR profession. But also sort of the data that you're collecting or the things you're paying attention to as a CHRO or as a head of people. And specifically when it comes to onboarding, like what are you tracking? Does that ultimately end up sort of like, you know, figuring out how you measure success in that way? Maybe give me or our audience some insight into that.
Sure. Yeah. So with onboarding specifically, with everything, I love data. I feel like data is, you know, it helps tell a story and helps us make better decisions. So as a baseline, making sure everyone goes through onboarding is super important. And I do want to stress that, you know, a lot of companies, especially when they're high growth, sometimes feel like they can skip over that and just kind of throw someone into the job. Well, a lot of data and studies indicate and show when you have comprehensive, intentional onboarding, what ends up happening is those employees stay longer and they're more productive and they're typically happier at the organization as opposed to those who are just sort of thrown in from, you know, from day one. So I think making sure everyone goes through onboarding, super, super important. Post onboarding, so as they've gone through the program, doing surveys to really capture and understand in a detailed way what worked and what didn't work is really useful. And so asking questions about the specific modules and getting suggestions for how to do better has been really helpful. I also like to look at onboarding data through a diversity, equity, inclusion, belonging lens. So in other words, when we look at the experiences and the feedback of people who've gone through onboarding, do we have a similar net promoter score for minorities, for women, for, you know, all sorts of diverse and underrepresented groups there? Because we want to make sure that our onboarding experience is a fruitful, fun, you know, productive experience for everyone, for all of our employees. So we're constantly looking at this data. And honestly, we're iterating and making improvements. I think good onboarding isn't set it and forget it. It's a living, breathing, ever-evolving program.
Yeah, which makes me think, have you set sort of a timeline on onboarding where when you're thinking about surveying, collecting feedback, is this just the first 90 days as more common, or do you extend beyond that, or have you extended beyond that in your career?
So I have done it beyond. Right now, we survey post onboarding, so post NHO. Then we do it again at 90 days, so 3 months in. And we're looking at adding some additional touch points to that, but we're not quite there yet here at Exabeam. At other places, we have surveyed employees to just understand over time, their thoughts, because thoughts on onboarding and its usefulness also evolve and change as the organization grows and gets more complex.
Last question maybe, and appreciate your time so far, just the role that, onboarding someone from a business and team perspective and obviously kind of the operations of the business, but also the role of cultural onboarding or onboarding someone, sort of integrating them into the way you live out your values or your virtues or just kind of the personality of the company in a way. And we know that's really important to integrating someone into the organization. How have you tackled that in currently or in the past, integrating new hires into sort of the value system?
Yeah, totally. I love this question. So, when it comes to fit and culture, for us, it begins in the recruitment phase. So we're very intentional about looking at candidates through the lens of culture add and not just culture fit, because we want people who are going to add to our wonderful culture and help us be more diverse and innovative and fun. So that mentality and that nomenclature begins at the very, beginning of the employee life cycle. And then once an employee is here, we do, going back to games and having fun with play, we do activities that help to immerse new hires into our culture in really fun, immersive ways. Then after that, we have our ERGs, our employee resource groups, start to reach out and spend time with new hires just to let them know, aside from the functional parts of work, there's this really robust and thriving, employee base that does a lot of different initiatives and things, which again helps our new hires start to dive into the culture and feel like this is a place where I've got the work stuff, but I also have this environment where I can contribute and be me. Because ultimately what we want to do is we want our new hires to know this is a workplace where you can be yourself and that's valued and wanted.
I think belonging is the psychological aspect of belonging, especially as you're joining a new organization, such a big decision and you're nervous and you're trying to be your best self and whatever you can do to really sort of help people be authentic and feel like that they're being included and belong in the organization from starting at recruiting all the way through the life cycle, but especially those first few weeks are super important. Mm-hmm. John, thanks so much. I feel like we could talk about this for a couple more hours and dive into other aspects of culture and people. But really appreciate your time. And I know our audience will enjoy your insights. If people want to connect with you and kind of learn more, and I know you're fairly active on LinkedIn and in different conferences in the industry, how would they best do that? Just connect with you on LinkedIn?
Yeah, LinkedIn's probably the best way. Pretty active and involved there. So yeah, would love to connect and answer questions if people have them.
Wonderful. Well, thanks again for your answers and your time, and look forward to getting this podcast out.
Great. Thanks so much, Josh.
Thanks, Yana.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of the Employee Onboarding Podcast brought to you by Process Street. If this discussion ignited a spark to revolutionize your HR processes, why not give Process Street a shot? It's a no-code platform trusted by thousands of teams around the world, large and small, including powerhouses like Salesforce. Visit www.process.st to sign up for a free trial and embark on a journey to efficient, powerful workflows.